This morning, I would like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Once again, we ask your blessings on your word. Lord, we ask your blessings on us, your people. And we pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to open to us, Lord, your truths, that we might enjoy them and receive them, Lord, and walk in them and even rejoice in them. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise. May you be honored and glorified, and our lives empowered to enjoy what you've given to us. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the title of the message is simply called God's Omniscience. God's Omniscience. We can kind of overlook those things as we consider the Bible, but God is omniscient. And the word omniscient has the idea of the capacity to know everything. That's God, amen? He doesn't just have the capacity, he is everything. He is life, is he not? He is eternal life, and we thank the Lord for that. It is because God is all-knowing or knows everything that we can place our trust in his every word with great confidence. We can have confidence because God knows it all, and we ought to thank the Lord for that. God says, you know, there's eternal life. He's not saying there's eternal life. He's saying there is eternal life because he is eternal life. Isn't that something? And God says, listen, anybody who'll believe on him can also be the recipient of that eternal life. So God has given to us his son to grant all those who would call upon him and look to him for eternal life, that they might be able to enjoy a relationship with God personally. Aren't you glad about that? And we kind of sometimes we get things a little bit confused because we are creatures of the clock. And so sometimes we don't really understand eternity the way God does. But we can trust everything he has said about eternity is true. And all of the promises of God we will be able to enjoy one day completely. We can enjoy them now. But listen, God is outside of time. And yet he has created time to glorify himself. So we are right now creatures of the clock. I think of my mother and my father-in-law who've gone on home to be with the Lord. They are experiencing things and seeing things that I don't think we could understand. And I'm glad of that. Maybe you have loved ones also that are in the very presence of the Lord. We miss them. And we thank the Lord for the privilege of having them in our lives. But they are seeing things by the grace of God and because of his salvation that we too will also enjoy. And things will make a lot of sense then that we don't understand completely now on this side of eternity. But the reason why we have our hope in the Lord is because his word is the truth. It's the only truth. There's no other truth. He is the truth. Not only that, but he's also the life. There's no other life found anywhere else but in him, speaking about eternal life. And by the way, physical life as well. There is no physical life without God. You know, isn't it amazing that our body has all these functioning, working parts, and God designed it that way? And not only is he's our life, he's power, he is peace, he is joy, and we're going to experience that to a greater degree when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty one day. But in the meantime, God says, I've given you something to hold on to and to place your faith in, and that is what he's done for us, and we have that recorded here. And I want you to see there's a contrast or a conflict that is taking place between the truth and the lie, the spirit and the world, and the spirit of God and our flesh. And so there's this battle, this conflict that is trying to pull us away from these truths. But God says, you know, if you will call on me, I will answer you. And not only will I answer you, but I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you believe that this morning? If not, we're just wasting our time. We're just waiting. I mean, let's just go home and turn on a football game. I'm just joking. That would be a sad state of affairs because, listen, the things of this world are passing away, but the things of God are eternal. And if we're missing out on those things, we need to call upon the Lord to bring that to life. If you've been saved, you know it. Let me try that again. If you've been saved, you know it. You ought to know it. If you don't know it, you better talk to the Lord. Amen? You ought to be able to go back to that time and place and that experience that God gave you, that understanding to realize, oh my, yes, I am lost in my sins. And yes, Jesus is the Savior, even my Savior, died for me, and you put your faith and trust in him, and you experience to whatever degree you experienced, you had an understanding that your sins had been washed away, that they've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you've been saved and had that experience and you know it, God wants to continue to bless you with those revelations of what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ even today. So let's consider some things this morning. We have the world's plan this morning we'll take a look at. We'll see God's purpose. We'll notice God's personal revelation and then a life-changing spiritual interest in the truth of God. And that all began when we got saved. If that is missing, then we can seek the Lord for those things and ask him, and he will bring those things. That's his will, to bring all to salvation. God's not willing that any should perish, but that some might have eternal life. No? Most, or that all should have eternal life. That all, that's God's will. And so we thank the Lord for that. Look at the world's plan. Look at verse 1
And it says here, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, this is the natural realm. This is what man does. And there's nothing wrong with these things here, but they're not a whole lot without the Lord. The Lord makes the difference and of all this. We'll see that here. The world overlooks the important details. It sees the temporal things, but it misses out on the eternal things. And so Caesar is taking care of business. And then it says in verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed. The whole known world went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Now, this was the government, this was the world's idea. And again, there's no fault in that. God has set up these governments to function for the benefit of mankind. But God's got a plan here. God has a purpose in the midst of all of this to make sure that Joseph and Mary were going to be in the right place at the right time for the birth of the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? They were not in the right place. They were not in the right time. God used the world's function to bring his will to pass. That's important. Listen, I would dare say there was not a lot of people that were excited about paying their taxes. All right, that's just a conjecture on my part. I love people that say, oh, we need to tax people more. And a lot of times these are very wealthy people that say, yes, tax the, because we can do so much with those taxes. And here's the funny thing about people that are very wealthy that scream out for more taxes. What's holding you back? Why don't you just give your money, give half of it. If you want everybody to be taxed, then you just take half of it and give it to the government. I think they would take it. But see, sometimes we say things that make us feel good that we really don't mean. So the world has its idea, the world has its plan, and believe it or not, an amazing thing, even in the midst of what the world is doing, God's purpose will come to pass. Do you know that everything is on schedule and right on time in God's calendar? The world may be, listen, the world is running frantic right now. Did you know that we have a possible chance of a meteorite hitting the earth and blowing us off all apart? Did you also know that we have all these green gases that are going to kill us? Did you know, and we can just throw on worry after worry after worry that the world has? But see, the believer doesn't place their trust or their faith in what the world is saying, because if we look to what God is saying, everything's going to be here when he comes again. Everything, listen, the world is all frantic and it's all worried about, and it's running to do this and it's running to do that. Do you think God was worried one bit about where his son was going to be born? He said in eternity, listen, he established that in eternity past, spoken of by the prophets before God ever came into the world or was ever brought into Mary's womb, and he knew exactly how it was all going to come to pass. Listen, don't let the world trouble you, because the world is already troubled because it does not have its faith and it does not have its trust in God. They are polar opposites. May you and I not have that confusion or concern, but may we have comfort and confidence in what God has already established in his word. So here's the world taking care of its business. And then I want you to see the purpose of the Lord. Again, all went to be taxed. Verse 4, it says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea. Now, this is just conjecture on my part. I don't know that they fully understood exactly how God was going to plan all this out. I believe they understood the scriptures. Maybe they weren't thinking about it. And as God was leading them to be taxed, I believe the child of God ought to be an upstanding citizen, don't you? Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did God say he would provide for some of our needs? Some? Just some? Most? All of our needs, right? All of our needs. You know, we have, listen, the world doesn't realize how much a need of peace and joy is in our lives. I think the world goes to looking for peace, love, and joy in all the wrong places. And they destroy their own lives. God's people ought to be different. Because our peace and joy should come from where? Things or the Lord? We ought not to look for our peace and our joy in what the world is looking for. We ought to be looking for them in what God has promised, because that's unmovable. And that is right on target and will always be right on target, right on course, in spite of what the world might do. And so here the world is taking care of its business, and the Lord is also taking care of his purpose here. Verse 4, and notice it says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And it says here, because he was of the house and lineage of David. In other words, because of that, he had to go to Bethlehem. And by the way, was it not God's will for him to be of the house and lineage of David as well as Mary? This had to be. And how much of that made sense when they were betrothed to one another? Listen, how much of that must have made sense? I don't think any of it made sense until all of a sudden the Lord appears unto Mary. They just happened to be of the right lineage, right? And then, listen, let me just show you how much Joseph understood about this. He was getting ready to put her away privately. Remember that? And then the Lord appears to him, gives him a revelation, says, no, this is of God. Now listen, if they were familiar with the scriptures, but praise God, it is for you and I to know that they were both of the right stock that would bring in the Savior of the world, the Messiah. We can see it crystal clear. Maybe they didn't understand it because Joseph, again, he was getting ready to put her away. And now all of a sudden we look back and we say, man, God was, only God could do it like this. And not only that, but listen, God was allowing the world to run its course, and it did not, listen, the world is going to run its course. Listen, it will not interfere with God's plan or purpose. Everything will follow suit exactly, not one jot or one tittle difference to God's will. It will all come fulfilled exactly to the T, as God said. Now, why is that so important? Because there's our rest and there's our peace. Hey, listen, is God meticulous in the details in the Word of God? Is he exact and meticulous? Imagine what eternity is going to be like. Let me give you some of the details that we can't even understand. Ready? Here's the details. God says that he's got in store for you and I that know him things that have not even entered our imaginations. So you go ahead. I don't think this is wrong. You just imagine what heaven is going to be like. You just imagine it is going to far supersede our imaginations. And it's not just going to be like you're going to be there and that's the end of it. No, you're going to be there, and it is going to be eternal and infinite, and we'll never get to the end of it. I mean, listen, it's not like you're going to just be awed with the same old thing. Because God is infinite, there's no end. There's no end to heaven. Because heaven is not just a place. It is a person. And it is God Almighty who has no end, who has no beginning, who is everything. And I don't understand it, but the Bible says we'll be in him, and we are already in him, and he's in us. And we know that because the Holy Spirit indwells us. But there is going to be a celebration like we can't even begin to imagine. Now, you won't have to ask me, because when we get to heaven, I'm convinced I'll be the one with my jaw on the bottom of the floor there, just in awe of everything, because I know this truth. We haven't even begun to imagine what it's going to be like. And God's given us already so much, even right now, to understand that important truth. So here he is. Here's God's purpose. And the Bible says in verse 6, and so it was while they were there, just happened while they were there. This is how it appears. Listen, if you ask a lost person this history, yeah, it just happened to work out that way. No. Listen, God worked it out so it would be that way. And so while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And notice this, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A lot has been said about this verse, and it's important for us because the world has no room for God. None at all whatsoever. The only reason why we begin to make room for God is because he reveals himself through salvation. It is at that moment that we have a great regard to where we will make time to see what God has to reveal to each and every one of us, to where we even have an interest to pursue those things. So this is taking place. The world is taking care of its business, but God is also doing a work in the midst of all that's going on in the world. Look what takes place here in verse 8, and this is God's personal revelation, and this is what we need even today as we look to this account this morning. Notice it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Would it be incorrect for me to say they had no idea what was going to take place that night? Would it be incorrect for me to say that they had planned simply just to take care of their responsibilities for that day, for that night, right? That's all they were doing. But God intervened in their day to give them a revelation. By the way, it's going to happen that way. We're just going to be going about our business, and one day we're going to step into eternity. But even before that, listen, God wants us to know that as we go through our day, he wants to be involved in the midst of our daily lives. He wants to be involved and give us things that are personal from him to you and I as his dear children. An understanding that the world simply is too busy for and overlooks every day. But may that not be said about you and I as children of the living God. So he says this, he says they were keeping watch over their flock by night, verse 9. And lo, in the midst of their daily routine, nightly routine in this case, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. That was a visitation from God. Now, I would dare say that these people had a relationship with the Lord to some degree. I mean, I would dare say they were believers in the Almighty God. And so he comes to them. And it says, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I don't know what that must have been like. But we're not just talking about a bright light. We're talking about the presence of God. And there it is, the angel's there, and they were sore afraid. And verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now that must have been good news to their ears, because they had probably wondered, what in the world is going on? I mean, listen, they had never seen anything like that before. Would that be fair to say? These shepherds had never seen this appearance before in their life. God wants to bring also into your life and mine things that we have never seen concerning our understanding of God Almighty. And he does that today through his word. He wants to bring forth into our lives revelations of things that we've not seen, to build our faith, that we might walk confidently in the promises of God, that we might truly be the testimony and the light of the world by the grace of God in our own lives, to enjoy the peace and joy of the Lord, to be a blessing into the lives of others. God, I've said this before and you'll see this, God wants to fill your cup first. How high? Overflowing. See, he just wants to fill my cup. I say it too. He wants to go beyond that. Amen. He wants it to overflow because your cup being full is for you. The overflowing part is for your family, for your church family, and the whole world. The overflowing of God. And so, I think that took place here for these shepherds, don't you? They didn't just stay in the fields that night, did they? So notice what happens here. Here's the good tidings. The angel says, I want you to know there's good tidings here. This is the promise that you've been waiting for. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, they all knew that the Messiah was going to come from the lineage of David. And so I believe that these lowly shepherds were given a revelation of the Messiah that the Pharisees and the lawyers and the scribes had no clue. These lowly shepherds were given something more than the proud, arrogant religious group understood. We must humbly walk. Listen, God resists the proud. But boy, oh boy, does he make a way for the humble. For those who know that in themselves, there's nothing good. There's nothing I have. And by the way, all that I have that is good, where did it come from? Oh, I didn't make it myself? No, God is the giver of all good gifts. Not most, not some, all. And so, he says, I want you to know this. Listen. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. What? What does it say there? That's the Messiah. They had no doubt that the Messiah of Israel and the world was born that night. Did the Pharisees know it? No, they had no clue what was going on that night. All they saw was what everybody else saw, and that was we were being taxed. That's all they saw. Listen, in the midst of the world today, what are we seeing? If we're not careful, we're just seeing what the world is seeing. God says, oh, no, you're mine. I want you to see the real truth. Yes, we can see what the world is doing, but more important than what the world is doing is what God is doing. And so, as we consider this morning, the angel is giving this personal revelation to them that nobody else had. And he says, I want you to know this day, it was night, wasn't it? But this day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day that he purposed his son to come into the world. And I want you to know, he says here, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. That word is the Greek word for Messiah, for the Messiah, the Lord. Do you think they had any doubt? Listen. The great light, they were afraid. He brings peace to them. Now they're in a place to hear and receive what's being said. See, a lot of times there's a lot of clamor going on in life and we can't hear what God is saying. God even has to, Lord, help me, give me your understanding. Because there can be so many things that are taking place in the world today that we can read the Bible or attempt to read the Bible and we can't get very far. Or if we get very far in what we're reading, we don't understand very much. We're just reading the same old words because the Spirit of God is not... Listen, sometimes we need to stop and say, God, help me to hear from you. I dare say every time you open up the Word of God... Because we are so filled up with the cares of this life and the concerns that they do distract us. I need the Lord every time I open up the Word of God, or I'm just going to read words on a page. Yes, I know it's the Holy Bible, but I won't get a whole lot out of it unless God opens it up to me. I know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Oh God, help me to hear and see what you want me to hear and see. Or I'll miss it every time. Not most times, every time. And so, he says, I want you to know what's taking place. And by the way, back up to verse 10 just for a moment. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good things, of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's God's intent. That's God's purpose. Now, that's not the world's purpose, and that's certainly not Satan's purpose. So it wants to destroy. He wants to destroy. He's the prince and power of the air, but God's got a different plan. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This already took place. He says, you're going to find, this is how you're going to find them. And by the way, listen, that night before the angel came, did they have that on their agenda? We're going to go visit this couple in the manger. No, they had no clue. Listen, there's a new desire. Sometimes, here's how we are, ready? Oh, please, I don't have time for that. Have you ever thought or said that? Don't admit it. I just don't have time for that today. You don't understand. Do you think that thought ever entered into their minds that night? We don't have time for this. Do you see all the sheep? Do you think that ever, how did that happen? It wasn't because they thought it was so important. It was because God came into their lives and redirected them and gave them a new want to. If we don't have that desire, then we better say there's something broken with my want to, or we will never ask God to fix it. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. God, listen, if you look at that, God didn't say because you're going to make yourself peculiar. God says, I'll make you peculiar. I'll make you have different wants. And so the Lord appears to these shepherds. This was not on their agenda. This was not on their list of things to do that night. None of it was. How much of this was of God? All of it. And if God's going to get involved in our lives, I want you to know that's God's plan. All of it, not ours. I'll tell you what our plans are. We need to pay our taxes. We need to take care of this. We need to do this. We need to do that. But before you know it, we'll get to the end of life doing all the things that we think we ought to do, and we've never asked God to direct our lives because we already know what to do, bless God. I'm saved. I know what we ought to do. Uh-uh. Without God, we can do what? We will never, listen, let me help you with that. Without the Lord, you will never overcome sin in your life because it will be God that will overcome it through you. I'm not talking about it, and God's not talking, he understands, but we need to be able to see the work of God that helps us overcome, enables us completely to overcome the sins that so easily beset us. We need to stop looking to ourselves and calling upon the Lord and believing, you promised God, I'm holding you to your promise. And you know what God's going to say? That's exactly what you need to do. Look to me, the author and finisher of our faith. Your faith, my faith. We need to come to him and say, I can't do it, God. Listen, I can't do some of it. I can't do any of it. And when we're willing to come to that place, we're inviting God. Because now if God does anything for us, we'll give him all the credit. Instead of saying, look what I've done. So notice here. Verse 13. And suddenly, after he tells them, you're going to find the babe lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God. How much of this did the shepherds do? None. Not a thing. Nothing. Glory to God in the highest. It was God's blessings on them. The angels are rejoicing. They were just given some information. The shepherds were receiving it. The direction. They sing out, the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Because of Caesar? No, because of God. Now, look at this life-changing spiritual interest in the truth of God. I'm convinced these were the people of God, the shepherds. But see, they had things to do. Lists and things to go through and responsibilities to take care of. But God had given them something that changed. Do you think it changed the way they saw things that night? Just that night? All right, so watch, ready? And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, Okay, we'll go back to the sheep now. The shepherd said one to another, let us now go back to the flocks. Let us go take care of other responsibilities. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Listen to this. And see if this thing has come to pass? No. And see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known. Listen, which the Lord hath made known unto us. If we are not walking in the things of God, it's because we are not getting a revelation, or the Lord is not making us know how important those things are. And if we're and if the Lord is not bringing us to these understandings, it's because we're not asking Him. Do you see the need? Look at the Word of God. As you study the Word of God, what does God say about His people? Is something missing? You have a need? Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. If God knows what you need, but He wants you to say, Lord, I need you. That's what He's wanting us to say. Lord, I need you. I don't want to be a dead Christian. I don't want to be a mediocre believer. I don't want to just get along to get along. I want my life to count for my God and my Savior. And that's not going to happen by me just doing the things I think God wants me to do. That's going to happen by me looking to what God says He wants to do and promise to do in my life and bring Him the mess and say, God, I need you to fix it. I need you to do something. So they say, let's go and see this thing that the Lord has made known unto us. Listen, here's a good question for every child of God. Is the Lord revealing anything to you? Anything? Is he revealing anything at all? Or are we just going along our own way? Is God saying something's wrong? Don't try to fix it. Bring it to Him. That's our problem. I can see wrong things, and bless God, I'll try to fix them. And God says, that's not what I want you to do, because if you happen to fix it for a little while, you're going to be patting yourself on the back. I won't do it for you. You've got to realize you can't do it. And then I'll do it, and you'll know that the Lord did it for you. Life-changing spiritual interest in the truth. That's God's work, not ours. I can look back at my life and see that I was blind. And now I see. Why? Because God opened up my eyes. I couldn't see before. I couldn't tell you the truth. I've got news for you. We just said it a minute ago. Every time I open up the Word of God, I need God to open up my eyes. I'll miss it all day long. I'll read historical accounts, but I'll miss what God is wanting me to know. They said, bottom of verse 15, and see this thing which has come to pass. Boy, is that faith or what? Did they see it come to pass? No. They didn't see it. They heard about it. God told them, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They had no doubt it came to pass. We're going to go see this great thing. You know that God says He's made us a new creature? Maybe the child of God ought to say, let's go look into this thing that God has made in me. This new creature He's made me. Lord, I want to see this new creature You made in me. This new creature this new spirit that has come in me that can overcome the things of the world that I can't do for myself. I want to look into that, Lord. I want to see what You've promised me. Listen, this morning, if you're saved, are you indwelt with the Holy Spirit? How much of Him are you seeing? Do you want to see any more? How do you get that? Lord, I want to see that. I want to see this thing which You've brought to pass in my life. I want to understand. You know, Jesus told His disciples, they were having troubles casting out these demons are, and doing these things. And the Lord said, listen, it's because of unbelief. But listen, some of these things require prayer and fasting. I wonder how familiar we are with prayer and fasting. And I'm not going to tell you this is how you fast and this is how you pray, because that's something that we have to personally ask God to lead us in. I can't tell you that. And stop looking to the secular books that are trying to tell you that nonsense. Because, listen, or even believers that profess, this is how you do it. Listen, you as an individual believer have to pursue the Lord yourself. The pastor can't do it for you, and your loved one who knows the Lord can't do it for you. God didn't ask, listen, if you have any needs, get your neighbor to call on me. No, he says, you call on me, and I'll show you, right? Amen. Can't do it ourselves. Nobody else can do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves, and what we have to do is simply call on the Lord. All right. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, just like the Lord said. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, listen, the saying which was told them concerning the child. And when they had seen it. Now wait, listen. The Lord said to you and I have given to you the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. Did he not say that? Who will empower your life. When you see that power and when you understand that truth, guess what you're going to want to do? Oh, amazing. You're going to want to tell people. So if you're not telling people, maybe you're not seeing it. Because as soon as you see the promise that's been given to you, you're not going to be able to help yourself. It's going to be a want-to thing. It's going to be a desire. Listen, did he not say that ye are the light of the world? We forget about that. Ye are the light of the world. You're the witnesses. But we won't have that. Listen, these shepherds are doing it. I don't think I don't think they got together and said, you know, we really should do this. What do you guys think about it? You guys, I don't think they had a board of directors meeting to decide whether or not they were going to do this. I dare say they all couldn't help themselves, and they all wanted to do it in a very desirable way. Verse 17, notice what they do here. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, when they saw it. And all they that heard it, look at this testimony. All they that heard it said, I've heard that before. Oh, I'm not interested. Go preach that somewhere else. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Why? Because God was in it. See, nothing comes, if the fruit's not there in what we're trying to do for God, maybe the Lord's missing. I didn't say you weren't a saved child of God. But we'll figure out a way to do it, won't we? Praise God, we can do this. No, we can't. Not without God. And if we do, what will come of it? What will come of it? Verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Isn't that amazing? The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God. You know, I think every time we get into the Word of God and get alone in prayer, we ought to just have that spirit of praise because of what God has just made known unto us concerning our relationship with Him. And more importantly, His relationship with us. Isn't that what it's all about? God is omniscient. That He's all-knowing. He even knows us, does He not? He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Is God all-powerful? Can God do what he wants to do in your life and mine? Can he do that? Does he have the ability to do that? He does. But he won't unless we ask him. He won't unless he is all powerful and he's all knowing. And yet he's waiting on us. You know the truth. What are we doing with it? Well, we'll just tuck it away over here till next Sunday. There it is. You think we're going to see a lot that way? What kind of gift? It's the Lord's. We celebrate the Lord's birth, Christmas. What kind of gift do you think God wants from us this year? I'll give you a little clue. It's the same one every year. He wants our heart. He wants our heart. Oh God, open up our eyes and our understanding that we might present ourselves to you for what you've given to us, a living sacrifice. I don't know how to do it, Lord. You must show me. Do you think God will be honored by wanting to show us? Please, Lord, show me what you want from me. Are you afraid that God's going to send you over to Africa somewhere in some remote village? That's not your God. He will use you. In fact, you remember the maniac of Gadara? He wanted to go with him, right? And what did he say? Nope, you stay here. And you tell them all what good things God has done for you. We have a good God. Amen. We have an omniscient God. We have a merciful God and a loving God. May we ask God to give us the faith to put our lives in his hands. Would you stand? That would be a wonderful Christmas gift for our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word, the understanding that it brings to us. And Lord, now you've given to us an opportunity to call upon you and to ask you to guide us and to show us your ways, that we would not lean to our own understanding, but that we would acknowledge you in all of our ways and yield them before you to have your will and way in our lives. Lord, I don't know what the needs are in this room, but you do. I don't know if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life. I pray that you would open up their heart, their understanding, that they might trust you even today for eternal life if they don't have that assurance. And then, Lord, for those of us that know you as Savior, have we truly surrendered our life, our will, into your hands, that you might truly have your will and way in our lives? Or are we holding on to them? Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and help us to see that we will have no better life than to completely trust the author of life and the Savior and the author of eternal life. Bless your word in our hearts. Bless your people. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.